Mark. I appreciate his piano playing, not him so much, but at least his piano playing. What a guy. I've changed things for this Sunday. I looked at the YouTube last Sunday, and the last Sunday's message was difficult in for several ways, and as I go through it and prepare it, it doesn't seem as long as it does when I actually share it. And that's been so typical throughout my ministry. I've always, even in college, when I was in college, I always had this propensity to over-prepare stuff or to overwrite stuff. I've had a paper, a term paper, research paper, a report, whatever. I would overdo everything. So throughout my ministry as a preacher, teacher, I've had to really be conscious, try to be conscious of myself and the time, just like I'm doing now. But I realized that was too long. It's especially if you're sitting at a YouTube in front, 57 minutes. That's almost an hour. Now, I could blame a lot of it on Brother Dennis because he started recording at the extraneous stuff, but that's okay. I just was trying to listen to the Lord as I always do, and I thought, these parts of, and actually the next part in the Sermon on the Mount has three sections to it, three different sections of Scripture that I actually, in my mind, crazy enough as it is, had thought about doing each one of those, or all of those together at once. I thought, that's impossible. That's going to be impossible. I'm going to cut those down, those three sections, into three different Sundays. And you got to be patient because then you've got to, persevere in going through, because a lot of people, they want a quick fix from the Scripture, and there's no quick fix in the Scripture. It takes a slow, deliberate study and explanation, etc., etc. But I got to thinking, okay, the next portion of the Sermon on the Mount is where Jesus talks about taking an oath. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And there's a good message, and I'm going to deal with that next Sunday and talk about these three different areas, practical areas that Jesus speaks to in our lives, and the first one being living with integrity. But I thought, this past week, was a little bit difficult for me. Wednesday would have been, and I still consider it as, Len and Mai's 55th wedding anniversary. And so it was a rough day in many ways, as you can imagine. And some of you have gone through that. You know what I'm talking about. Those anniversary days, birthdays and holidays and those kinds of things. I thought, what I kind of need is some comfort. I kind of need some comfort. And I get a lot of comfort from so many friends and from you, the congregation, and from calls and even from my family, of course. So I thought, I think I feel led to try to just share from a scripture some comfort. And there's a scripture passage that I've known for a long time, and many of you are familiar with it, that just speaks specifically and directly to the issue of comforting one another, of receiving comfort from God, that we have a God who is a God of comfort that comforts us and comforts us in all of our troubles, any crisis, any difficulty, any struggle, any detail that we're dealing with. I talked to someone yesterday, talked about the God of the details, the God, when a little issue comes up or a problem or a difficulty, they just go to God and He is concerned and He answers in regard to any detail. He's that big. He's capable. And He comforts us for a purpose, and so that we can comfort others with the comfort that we've received from Him. And there's a theological foundation to that. There's a theological basis that forms the basis for the existence of that comfort and the motivation of giving that comfort. And we'll see what that foundation is. And then he kind of concludes with Paul concludes with a personal testimony about his own experience of struggle and distress. And the Apostle Paul being distressed and then being comforted, and specifically by the prayers of the people. So I just want to share that with you. I'm just going to read the scripture to you and make some comments as we go through, and hopefully it won't be as long as 57 minutes like it was last week, because that was a bit too long. But I appreciate you're so patient and indulgent for me to share, and I shared a lot of personal stuff last week, and I did it for a reason, to get across a point, a theological truth in respect to the God that we serve and the God that created us and the kind of God that He is and His primary purpose and His primary desire and His characteristic for us. So the scripture that I'm talking about is found in Paul's second letter to the Corinthian church, to the Christians at Corinth. 2 Corinthians, it's at the very beginning, it's in the first chapter, right after Paul does his formal greeting. Paul always usually gives a greeting to the Christians, to the churches he's writing to, and he identifies himself most of the time as that one who is writing this exhortation or message or whatever, the letter that he's writing, and who's with him. In this case, I think he says Timothy is with him, to the church of God at Corinth, and the saints throughout Achaia, that's the general region, what we call the peninsula where Greece is today. It was the Achaean Peninsula. Corinth was one of the leading cities right there in the peninsula on the Mediterranean Sea. Any grace and peace? Charis Irene. He always shares those two Greek greetings and exhortations from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So the passage begins with verse 3. So let me just read it through you. It's a little bit dangerous because, being the preacher teacher that I am, this amount of scripture could go on long, but I'm going to try to keep it short. But I pray God will use it, because I felt led. This is not the sermon that I typed out and had already an outline sitting on my desk at home to share today. We'll do that next Sunday, Lord willing, unless He changes. So let's read this together. And for those on, remember those watching, those being recording this message, I'm talking to a congregation here, so I may not make eye contact with you, but I love you, and we'll look forward to when you can join us too. Paul begins with worship, a declaration of worship to God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he describes God. I love it when Paul describes God and identifies his characteristics. The God, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort. The Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Aren't you glad that we have a God who is a compassionate God? And Paul identified He's Father. We relate to Him as Father through our faith in the Son. So we have a personal relationship of a Heavenly Father who is a compassionate Heavenly Father. I could, you know, spend some time on that characteristic of God, but He's a Father of all compassion who comforts us, a God of all comfort who comforts us. And I trust that you sitting here today, and you watching on YouTube, that have in some way been comforted by God. If you can think back in your life, say, well, I can't really think of a time when I felt God comfort me. I'm sad for you. That makes me sad. Because there's nothing like the comfort that God can give. You say, how can God give comfort when God is not a physical being? Well, I can't explain that to you. I just know that you can. He's a spiritual being, and we're spiritual creatures, and His spirit interacts with our spirit, and we are comforted in a way that's a kind of a supernatural experience, and we know it's coming from God. He comforts us in all our troubles. I'm glad, it's not some of our troubles or just the worst troubles, but in all of our troubles, He'll comfort us. Every single thing that goes on. So we're comforted by God in the declaration in Paul's writing to these Christians, affirming to them that they know that God is a God of compassion, and God is a God of comfort, and He comforts them in all of their troubles. And the Christians at Corinth had a lot of troubles. A lot of troubles. And God would comfort them in all of them, whether it's a grief, whether it's sickness, illness, struggle, financial, knowing where your next meal's coming from, having a roof over your head. In those days, sometimes it was tenuous. Their life existence. They faced a difficult troubles in life. So God comforts us in those, and there's a purpose, there's a reason why God comforts us, so that when those of us who have experienced the comfort of God can reach out and become an instrument of God to comfort others with the comfort that we've received from God. Now, there's two things that come to my mind when I read that. Number one, it's an incredible privilege and blessing that those of us who know that we've been comforted by God. God has come through for us. God has blessed us. God has strengthened us. God has helped us. God has made a way through the trouble that we found ourselves in for whatever purpose, even of our own making or things that were not in our control. But we know God brought us through. God came to us in the midst of that trouble, and he comforted us in that trouble until the trouble passed, until we were able to be sustained as we went through it. And now we've experienced the comfort of God. And we can look back and say, God, thank you. Through that trouble, you were there with me, and recall exactly how we were feeling and the supernatural power and the love and the peace that goes beyond understanding that was ours, and even joy in the midst of turmoil or sadness. And we're to take that we've experienced in God and use that and let God use us to comfort others who are in trouble. And if we think back, sometimes those troubles that we found ourselves in, it was other folks that were coming to us and comforting us or ministering to us or encouraging us or just standing alongside or being alongside of us, who was a comfort to us. They didn't have the answers. They didn't have the solutions. They didn't have, they didn't talk or speak. They just were there. Their presence comforted us. And they were being used by God, because no doubt they had been comforted by God and they knew of the comfort of God. And that's why it was so comforting when they came and comforted us. I could give you so many illustrations. You could give me several illustrations of that very experience. When maybe someone surprising to you, you know, you guys, my whole congregation have blessed me so through this loss of Lynn. But you know, let me just share you one thing. Just so the first persons that showed up at my door like it was the day or two after Lynn had passed away, I was supposed to play tennis. There's no way, obviously, I was going to play tennis on that Monday. And like the next day, you know, the first two persons showed up at my door were Dell and Sherry Clark, who you probably don't know, but they're sweet people who I play tennis with regularly, and they're members of the Mormon Church. And they brought me two big old things of soup with just love. They didn't come in. They just brought the soup, and I knew it was just there wanting to show me love. And it was comforting. We can go through illustrations like that all through our lives of folks. And just multiple things. That's God working. Don't miss identifying, recognizing God in that. See, some folks that just lack understanding, they think they want God showing up in some physical manifestation or some apparitional kind of form. No. God's here right now today. We walk in the door, we're greeted by a brother or sister in Christ. That's God at work. That's God at work. He works through us. He works through us. It's His Holy Spirit in us that's witnessing and identifying and reaching out and ministering to the Holy Spirit in others. He's all over the place. He's present. He's omnipresent. If we'll recognize Him, and we're to then be instruments of comfort to others. I could go on and on about that, but that's what we're supposed to let God do, is use us to comfort others. I was going to say one other thing. It's a little bit negative because it's a little bit frustrating, and it's a little bit sad. It's when you, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know God is so full in your life, and you can recognize Him so, you can recognize Him so clearly working in your life, and He who has worked through your life, whether it's grief or death or sickness or an illness, and someone that you love very much is going through something maybe similar, maybe in the ICU over an illness, or maybe through grief from a lost loved one. But they don't know God. In fact, they don't want you to talk about God. And yet you want to comfort them. You want to extend the comfort of God that you've experienced in spiritual reality in your life, and yet you can't because they've denied that is a reality, and so they just don't want to hear that. That makes me so sad, especially when it's someone you love. So that's a difficulty. So I don't know about you. You don't offend or try. You respect their place, so you pray, and you just pray, and you know what God is doing. And even when they're delivered, you know it's God, but you can't sometimes say anything. Let's go on. For just as, here's the theological foundation for all of this comforting of God and His comfort for us and our giving comfort to others. Verse 5, for just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. So Paul says, when we enter into this relationship with Christ, we're going to take on the sufferings of Christ. In a sense, because we stand in an identity with Jesus, our nameplate is changed. Our primary identity is with Jesus Christ, and the cross of Christ is on our life, and we will absorb sufferings as a result of that. But we can take comfort because through Christ, our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort. So then Paul addresses the Corinthian Christians. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same suffering we suffer. Sounds a little bit confusing, but Paul is saying, because we take on Christ, it's Christ in us who gives us the comfort that we can have through any struggle or suffering that we go through. And Paul says, then when I'm distressed, if I'm distressed, I know that Christ is comforting me, and He's using my distress in order to give you comfort. Because you hear, he's talking to these Christians at Corinth, which also includes us, you hear that I'm going through this distress and I'm being comforted. That should give you comfort that Christ is ministering to me, and therefore He can minister to you in whatever distress you go through. And I was thinking, what kind of distress could Paul be going through? What would be Paul's greatest distress? And just trying to understand and know what I know about Paul from scriptures, I would say, number one, his first distress seems to be when he's being prevented from sharing the gospel. So he gets distressed because he can't tell others about the love of Jesus and the cross of Christ and the death of Jesus for our salvation and the resurrection that gives us new life and achieve victory over sin and death. when Paul's obstructed from that message being presented to whomever, he gets distressed. Or secondly, he's distressed when he can't come and minister to his people, to people who he have led to Christ, to churches where God has used him to start and form and grow and encourage them and comfort them and edify them in the Word of God and in the Gospel of God. Paul would get distressed. And he was, as if you read on through these, through the Corinthians, you'll see that he's distressed because he can't come. And he wants to be there. There are several times Paul mentioned that. And I think, honestly, Paul was a human being just like you and me. He was no different, just like you and me, just sold out to Jesus, that he would get distressed. In fact, if we read on, he describes about being so distressed that he was fearful for his own life at times in Asia. Certainly in that first missionary journey with Barnabas. He was beaten and bloodied and thrown out of the city, dragged out of the city limits and left for dead. I imagine that created some distress. He was a human being. But Paul says, when you hear about my distress, you know that Christ is comforting me in this distress. Therefore, you can be comforted through the suffering that I'm going through, because you know that whatever suffering you go through, Christ will be comforting to you. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our suffering, so also you share in our comfort. That's just what I said. Let's go on, and we've got to finish, or I'm going to violate my promise, 57 minutes or less. Verse 6, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. So he goes on and talks about what he experienced in Asia. This is Achaia. This is across the Adriatic Sea. Asia would be modern-day Turkey. This is modern-day Greece, where he's writing to these Corinthians. He said, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And there's the great spiritual truth and theological foundation of being comforted, is that if God allows us to go through some stuff, one objective is that God wants us to rely on Him and not ourselves. God wants us to rely on Him and not ourselves. And God's infinite perfection, perfect wisdom. And so He knows what's coming up ahead, and He knows what He's going to allow for each of us to go through. And He wants us to go through that so that we can rely upon Him. And that doesn't discount what Paul's going to end up with. And that's also the prayers of the people, which make the reality and the power of God released in our trouble, in whatever we're going through, to a greater extent. But Paul says, this has happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And He has delivered us, God has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. God has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. In other places, Galatians, Paul says, whether I live or die, I'm God's. To live is Christ, to die is gain. So if I live, I'm living for Christ, and that's great. That's glory, that's good, that's the best. If I die, then I've gained, even over what I'm living now. So I'm a winner both ways, whether I die or whether I live or whether I die. I live for Christ, and Christ uses me to minister to others, and I get to serve Him every day of my life. And if I die, then I've gained heaven. I've got the best. So I'm gone from this to the better. And then Paul says, on Him, on Christ, we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us, and He will. Conclusion, verse 11. As you help us by your prayers. So Paul never left out the fact that no matter what you're going through, church, Pray for us. Pray for each other. He ends. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. So as others see God move and deliver us, they will give glory to God and they will be thankful for the power of prayer, because they know that the church, the people of God, even in their struggle, were praying for others, for each other. There's nothing quite like someone who's going through a struggle themselves, hearing about another struggle, and in their own struggle, praying for the other person who's going through a struggle. And there actually is something strengthening and comforting about that. There's something very powerful about that. That, say, we're going through a grieving loss, and we hear about another grieving loss, and we reach out and say, you know, I'm going to pray for you. There's a strength in that. There's a power in that. There's God's power is amazingly released in that. And Paul says, people will take notice and glorify God, and we will be delivered, and it will be because you prayed for us and because God came through with us, for us, in the midst of our struggle. So we have a God who is compassionate, who is a God of all comfort in every trouble, every detail of trouble we might go through. He'll comfort us. And he'll do that so that we then can comfort someone else. Or at least make ourselves available, seek to reach out to be a comfort to someone else as God leads us. And when we're in despair and going through trouble, and we know that God will deliver us, and whether he does or whether we don't, if we live, it's Christ. If we don't, it's gain into heaven. And God will allow some things in our lives so that we'll depend on him and not on ourselves. Acknowledge he's the one with power, and know that there's a great, incredible blessing when others are praying for us, and also even more when we get to pray for others, even in the midst of our struggle or our trouble. And I hope you're comforted this morning by that. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being a God of compassion and a God of comfort. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're amazing to go and suffer on the cross. And in that suffering, we are comforted. And in you, we take on your sufferings, and yet we're comforted by the power of God and the reality of the resurrection and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And knowing that we can depend on you and we don't have to depend on ourselves, but you'll walk with us, walk through us. You'll deliver us from every peril. If we live, it's for you. If we die, it's with you. So we gain, and we're blessed, and we're winners either way. But now, in this life, we get to pray for those in trouble, even as we may be going through trouble in our own lives. We pray for others. Thank you, Lord. I pray for these precious folks here today. Whatever trouble, whatever struggle, whatever problem, whatever issue. If it's short term, if it's tiny, if it's small, or if it's major, or if it's lifelong, I pray for them comfort in Jesus' name. Continuously, each and every day, find ways and recognize the working and presence of God in any tiny way. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, we worship you, we glorify you, we submit ourselves to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We'll just